I love that bumper, man. I just feel, always makes me feel cool, like I'm cooler than I really am. But that's awesome. Hey, my name is Tyler Jagan. I'm pastor of spiritual growth here at River Run, and we've been on this series called Refocus. And simply put, refocus just means to focus again. And we do this in our own lives, right? There are areas of our lives that we have a good handle on, and so we feel pretty good about it. But then we kind of look and shift at another piece of our life, and we kind of go, you know what? We really need to refocus on that. Maybe it might be, I need to refocus on my time with that child, or I need to refocus more on my marriage or my finances, or maybe I need to focus again back on dieting and getting into better shape. So we do that in our own lives, and it's true also when it comes to the context of our church family. There are times even as a church family that we work on certain things and we go, okay, we're growing stronger, we're getting better in this area, but as we're kind of spending a lot of time over here, we need to shift over here to kind of refocus on this area so we can get better at that again. And one of those areas that we're working on over these last months or so is this whole area of accepting, serving, and loving people when they come among us, particularly people who are new here with us. And it's just to kind of encourage all of us to kind of go back into time and to remember the first time that we were here, the first time that we visited. Some of you, that's really recent, so that's very fresh. That memory for you is just maybe just a few weeks ago. For some of you, you've been around for a long, long time, so you have to really dive deep into the recesses of your memory to remember what it was like when you first came to River Run. But I'm sure for a lot of us, we had a lot of similarity. Maybe it's like, man, I really need to be there. I really want to go to that place that maybe we drove by or somebody invited us to, but we're also kind of going, well, I don't know, maybe not this week. We kind of start putting it off because it just kind of feels weird and awkward to go to new places. You've never been here before. You kind of come in, you finally get the courage, and you come on campus, and you're kind of going, well, I don't know. I don't know what goes on in there. It could be kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know whether they're going to really like me or accept me and all that, but you had the courage to go ahead and do it anyways. And some of you had an experience where you hit us on a really good day. You connected with a lot of wonderful people that connected with you. You felt part of this church family right off the bat, and man, that was awesome. For some of you, maybe it was a little cold start. You came here and walked in, and maybe nobody really said hi to you, or it's just kind of like, I don't know if they really were glad I was here, and you came here, and then you left, and you kind of go, oh, I don't know, I didn't really feel connected, but let's try it again, and you kind of kept fighting in that, and then you finally got connected, and you felt like, wow, this is my church family now. And some of you, you've been coming here for a few weeks or so, and maybe you haven't had a really good experience, and you're even kind of wondering whether maybe next week you may not come back. And for that, if that's your experience, or the last two, I'm really sorry about that. It's never been our intention. It's never really been our heart, which is the whole reason why we are refocusing on how we accept, serve, and love people when they come among us. You see, I think there's this image that God gives us and how we are to do that and how we are to be a people who go and love and accept and serve people when they come among us. And before I kind of get to that image, I want to give you the context of the time frame and the period when God gave this image, and then it will make sense for us and for today and why it's so important that we become a people that are welcoming and just loving to other people that come amongst us. So anyways, let me give you a little historical backdrop. There was a time in Israel's life as a nation where they were a regional powerhouse. They had economic vitality. There was trust in their leadership because there was character. There was integrity. There was a sense of unity among the people. There was a singleness of mind by which these people felt a great sense of security, an amazing blessing in their life. Things were going really, really great in their lives. But they, like all of us at times, began to deal with complex issues, hard issues. They began to have their own personal hopes and dreams, and they slowly began to move away from maybe leaning into the thing that gave them the greatest blessing, which is the relationship with God, trusting in God. In fact, the leader during the time when Israel was doing fantastic said this one time, he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So as a nation, they were trusting God. God was making their path straight, and everything was going really good until they began to slowly take the driving, you know, steering wheel back and begin to control their lives. Handle those hard, complex issues, going, man, I got to figure this out. I got to deal with this. And so they stressed and they pressed. Or they also began to think about, man, this is my vision, what I want. This is, you know, my dream. And so they began to control that as well, by which they slowly began to drift into this place of either manipulation and controlling of the circumstances, or they became very egotistical and wanted to power drive over other people. So as a nation, their leaders became less of people of character and integrity. People stopped trusting them. That wasn't just on their leadership, but it was pervasive all throughout their nation, by which then created division and schism and lack of trust with other people. They no longer were singleness of mind. And so you began to see this nation become very brittle, to the point that other nations around them began to see opportunity to take advantage and exploit and ultimately conquer this nation. That's the context that God gives this image that I want to give to you. It's this context of desolation, of not just political desolation, governmental desolation, economic desolation, but also deeper down into the recesses of people's lives. It was desolation of the heart, desolation of their spiritual lives, desolation of their relational lives. They're emotionally unhealthy, mentally unhealthy, spiritually unhealthy, by which it was just a wasteland. So God would send these people, they're called prophets, by which they would go and basically say, hey guys, the brittleness and the pain and the hurt that you are experiencing and feeling is because you are disconnecting yourself from God and trusting in yourselves and trusting in other people rather than him. And if you keep going down this path, it's just going to beat the snot out of you. But as you see through all these prophets, sometimes they lay it on thick and it comes really hard. But they also give hope. And so this prophet that we're going to look at is a guy named Jeremiah. And he speaks to the nation of Israel in a very dark time in their country. Where again, like I said, there's desolation. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and it's just wreaking havoc in so many people's lives. But the prophet Jeremiah says, but there's hope. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, he says it like this. Even though there may be a complete wasteland all around us, everywhere we're at, he says this. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Even though everything may be going really, really bad. Really bad in your lives individually, really bad in your neighborhood, really bad as a country. Here's the deal. You are still very much blessed if you trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And so that's what he's saying. People would look around and look at their situation and go, how in the world can that be? Well, it can be if you trust and put your hope and confidence in the Lord, even though everything around you may be going hell in a handbasket. And so in the very next verse, he gives us that image of what it's like for us to be people who put our trust, hope, and confidence in our God. Verse 8 says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Okay? Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. In other words, it can be a desert wasteland everywhere. But for people who put their trust and confidence in God, it's like laying their roots down deep into the source that gives all vibrance and growth, which is not the circumstances around us, but it's found in getting our nutrients and security and strength from God. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. So, I've read this verse, and this passage, many times in my life, and I've applied it even into my own life. I get it. I understand that when I begin to trust myself or begin to trust in other people apart from God, then I find myself getting very brittle. stress, anxiety, worry, all of those things begin to creep in. But the more that I lay my roots deeper into the foundation or deeper into the water of God, which is his love for us, the stronger I feel. Paul mentioned it the same way when he wrote to a group of Christians, just like you and I, in a town called Ephesus. He said it this way. He said in Ephesians 3:17, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him." See that word trust again. "Your roots will grow down into God's love and do what? Keep you strong." That when we lay our lives down at the feet of Christ and we lay our roots deep within his heart and we consume his love for us, we become strong. That's what happens in our lives. But here's the thing. This is what I've learned. That this can really happen in our own personal lives. This isn't something we just read from Scripture. This isn't something that can just, you know, happen for somebody else. It happens for all of us when we begin to lean into God and put our roots deep into God. And you're going to learn, you're going to hear some or experience some of the life changes, some people who went through Rooted a little bit later on. But there was another guy who went through the gamut, and he found great strength in God as he put his roots deep into God. And his name was Daniel. Daniel was a contemporary of Jeremiah. You talk about somebody living in a bad time. Daniel was a young man, probably somewhere in his teens, and this nation called Babylon came in and basically just picked apart all of Israel's resources, all their stuff, demolished it, and they took their best resources, their human resources, which is their smart, young, vibrant, young leaders. And one of those guys was Daniel. So you can imagine if you were 19 years old and all of a sudden somebody came in here and just kidnapped you, took you to a whole nother country and took you and made you a slave, that would feel like a complete wasteland. But Daniel didn't just become somebody who just kind of crawled up and wilted away in the desert of his life. He began to just continue to just trust in God and lay his roots deep in his love for God and God's love for him. And you see through his life, if you go and read his life in Daniel, a man who continues to stay strong. Not because he's strong of himself, but because he's strong in his trust of God and his love for God and receiving God's love for him. But then you notice something very different about Daniel. You know what happens with Daniel when he does this? People start coming to him. People start coming to him because they see a man who has a sense of strength. Not his own strength, as we'll see. His roots go down deep. They can't see it, you know. They can't see the roots underneath. But the roots are way down, and it's down deep into God. And people just come to him to find, you know, refreshment, new. And what they begin to taste is they begin to taste just the beautiful wonderfulness of our God. And that began to change my mind and my perspective, because a lot of times when I would read this verse, I always think about me. It's about my roots to go down in order for me to feel, you know, strong and refreshed and just a healthy individual. It was always about me, until I began to realize that God makes us this way, not just for us and not just for me, but for other people. That for me to grow my roots deep into Jesus Christ is vastly important, not only for me, but for other people. Because think about it this way. If we're living out in the desert and we are thirsty and we're starving and we just want to give up and we would love just to give up and just die. But then all of a sudden you see out in the distance, you see something poking up and it has green on it. And if you squint your eyes and you see a little bit closer, there's some fruit on it. What are you going to do? You're going to run. You're going to run to that tree. You're going to sit under its shade to get out of that heat because it's hot out there. You're hungry, and so you partake of that fruit, and you eat it, and your eyes begin to feel refreshed. They come alive as you eat of this. And I recognize that that's how God works in our lives, because not only when I put my roots deep into God, and he makes me strong, I then become a place by which other people can find rest and peace They can see the work of God in my life that's bringing me, making me stronger and stronger. They can taste of the fruit and begin to taste the goodness of God by which you know, brightens their life and their eyes. That growing rooted into Christ isn't just for me, it's for other people. And God, you know, when I think about this, is that God didn't want me to live my life where I'm just flashy. It's not what we're talking about, you know. Sometimes in life, instead of growing deep into Christ, we just want to be flashy, you know. We want to look good, we want to act good and all that sort of stuff to be attractive kind of people. But that was never God's vision for people. See, people may be attracted to us and they may be able to come to us and go, wow, okay, I see the flashing lights and all that sort of stuff. But as they get closer to us and they try to sit under our shade, there's not a lot of shade. It's still really hot. And there's no fruit there. Just blinking lights and stuff. God meant for us to be a place by which we grow a healthy way, by which when people come into our lives, they're like, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on underneath you. But man, when I'm with you, I feel a sense of refreshment. I feel a sense of, I'm so glad to be in your presence. And when I see you, I see something different in you. And I don't really know what it is. As I take this fruit and taste it, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, that's God's vision for us. And then what we do is you say, you know what it is? It has nothing to do with me. On the outward, it may look for me, but you know what it is? It is nothing more than me anchoring my life and deeply into Jesus Christ. Any shade you have comes because of Christ, not for me. I'm just letting it happen. Any fruit that you taste in my life isn't me. It's just the fruit that's just happening as I just go and just live my life for Jesus Christ. And the way to have sustenance is not just to keep partaking of my fruit, because my fruit will be gone after a while if you eat it all. The sustenance will come from you now putting your roots down deep into Christ. So here's the thing, though. This is so important. This is something that cannot be done by just one or two or few individuals. Oftentimes when we think of church, we think, well, you know, offering shade and peace and vitality and all that, that's the job of the pastors. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what the elders are supposed to do and all that sort of stuff. I'm here just to, you know, grind it through the week, come on Sunday morning and just sit under the shade, get some refreshment so I can go and grind it again during the week. But here's the problem with that. When we do that, a couple of things happen, okay? There's not enough room under one tree for everybody. There's not enough fruit to go around for everybody. And that's why a lot of us feel like we're just starving. And we feel like we're not growing. One of the things I think I've learned over the years when I've heard people say this phrase, I don't feel like I'm being fed anymore. And for a while there, I just wrestled with that. What does that mean? What does that mean? Until it just finally clicked on me. It's like, you know why you're not being fed anymore? Because you're continuing to consume off of somebody else's tree. You're continuing to consume somebody else's shade. And you're never really satisfied because you're leaving that shade and you're getting out into the desert. You're getting hungry again. And the only person who could ever give you that sustenance all the way through the week is Jesus Christ. If you lay your roots deep into him and your relationship with him, you will continue to grow. It may be a little tree, but over time, you trust him, you persevere with him, you will become a very strong oak because you have strong roots within him. And not only that, but when we do that, not just one or two or a couple of people, when we begin to do that, we become a forest together. And guess what happens? Our bandwidth to be able to love and serve and accept people more increases. Because we got a lot of shade. There's a lot of people around here. There's a lot of people around here to feel connected. Maybe you didn't connect with that person, but you're connecting with that person. That's why this is something that God calls us all to do. God never meant for this to be a one or two little tree little thing by which all of humanity tries to squeeze under and try to get some fruit from it. It's to be a people who come under, find the refreshment of God within our lives, by which then we tell them the secret sauce, which is Jesus Christ, by which they get their anchor down deep with him, by which then they grow, and now the trees are beginning to multiply, by which more people can come. More people can come under our shade and feel refreshed and glad to be in our presence, by which we just continue to tell them about where we got this all from, which is our God. Because then now there's enough fruit and there's enough shade to go around. This is why this refocus that we're doing is so important. You know, as new people come amongst us, this is something that we all need to be a part of. We all have the opportunity to be able to be people that gives refreshment to a worn out, wearied people who have not yet met Christ and yet have not yet stuck their roots way down deep into his love. It's an opportunity for them to come and begin to taste a little bit more of the goodness of God by which they can come and through all of that, listen to a wonderful message, whether it's by one individual up here on a platform or by the messages spoken in love through a wonderful, beautiful building relationships of people within all of us as we go about our day, whether that's out in the parking lot or out over here greeting in here or out in the lobby or any other piece in here. It's God's vision. God's vision is for people to come here and just be able to go, because we are living in a time where people are feeling more desolate in a wasteland than ever before. You've heard me say this many times. You've heard it up here. That as people are drifting away from God and they're looking for things of this world, it's just not satisfying. It just doesn't. It doesn't do it. You know? So people are more isolated than before. People are more dealing with heart issues in their lives and their relationships and their family and on their own. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with all of those sort of things. By which they need shade. They need the goodness of God, but it can't come from one person. It has to come from a group of people. It has to come from a forest of people in doing this. So if there's anything I could ever do to encourage you or to inspire you, it'd be nothing more than just to say, okay, God, I want to lay my roots deep among with these people. And even though I may be a little tree shooting out now, I'm going to go and I'm going to go and serve and accept with these little people, with all of these people. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to not only to connect with other people here at River Run, but also to begin to be a person that can bring refreshment and joy to another person who's just weary and worn out when they come here. Because everybody who comes here is just like you and me. None of us got it together. All of us deal with hard, difficult things. We all get stressed. We all get, you know, overheated and exhausted from you know, the tough things of life. We all need a place by which to find rest and refreshment. And all of us need to grow our roots deeper into Jesus Christ. And all of us need to be people who then are people who invite people and encourage people and to be people by which they find rest and refreshment in doing that. You see, the beautiful thing about the way that God made us is not just for me. It's not just about me growing deeper into Christ by which I feel a sense of security and then I feel, you know, stronger and it's just about me. It's about other people. But that's not just about me individually. It's also our story. It's our story of being a people who together, not individually, but together, through the way that we love each other, the way that we serve along with each other, the way that we do life together, that we continue to put our roots and intertwine our roots together deeply into Jesus Christ and to love him immensely. One of the guys, Carlos, in our church, who I love just dearly, turned me on to this TED Talk that was done by this botanist. And he said, you know, trees are brilliant. They're more brilliant than you ever think. You see, trees communicate and they also share resources together. And so they did this experiment and they found that when trees grow down and their roots begin to intermingle, what happens is they begin to kind of speak to each other in their kind of tree language on how to get more nutrients into their life and also how to intertwine with each other in order to make them stronger. Because when we are intertwined through the strength of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can move us. It's always been God's vision for us. Never to be this lone wolf, isolated individual, but to be people who are intertwined, not because we're enmeshed in each other, it's because we are both and all of us are getting our nutrients from Jesus Christ by which it makes us stronger, by which we share that nutrients with other people and share the water with other people, by which we keep encouraging people to keep leaning into Jesus Christ, that he loves you, to remind you. We need to continue to be that people. But there's also a people outside of us who are looking for that and need that. And when we do this together, people can come and they can find freshness and refreshment. I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't already, just after the service, just come to the front. Just listen to our heartbeat a little bit more of how we can be a people that really does make it a difference for people who come onto our campus for the first time. If you've been around here for a while, let me encourage you. You know so many things going on around here. You have so much connections with other people. You are ripe for being a person that can help other people to connect deeply into our congregation. For those of you who are new, you have an awesome opportunity just to meet people in order to begin the process of growing in Christ with other people. If you've had a bad experience here, I'm like going to say, yay, God, because now you are somebody who's passionate, hopefully, to say, we'll never let that happen to somebody again. And we say, bring it on. Help us. So that way your bad experience will never happen to somebody else. We would love for you to partner with us in that. And so after the service, it's just right after the service for a few minutes or so, we're just going to kind of talk you through how you can do that. And again, I'm not this spiel. I hate spiels. I hate trying to get people. If you know me, you know I hate this sort of stuff. But I do believe wholeheartedly of a beautiful vision of being this place by which people go, and they leave here, and they've experienced the living God through how we love them and how we are so grateful that they would want to spend time with us, and how we just help them out in the weirdness and awkwardness of being new here. What an amazing, beautiful gift that you and I can give people, that they can walk away and go, all right, God, I'll give you another week. I'll give you another chance. I'll lean into you more. I'll see where you have happened, what would happen. And then life change begins to happen. 12 weeks ago, we started a new Rooted journey. And this time I got to facilitate it, which was really fun. And I knew a lot of the people there, not everybody really well. And the people that I knew, at least I thought I knew well, right? It's kind of how it goes in life. When I really got to know them, began to realize that, yeah, maybe we were strangers. And so what we did was just this journey of going, hey, what would it be like if over the next 10 weeks, all we did was just sink our roots deeply into God and see what he has for us. Let's see if he really can nourish us. Let's see if he can really make us stronger. Many of us, we went into that thinking about that about ourselves. This is what we wanted for ourselves because we wanted to grow stronger in our relationship with Christ. And through that journey, we found that it wasn't so much about me, myself, and I, but it was really a journey of us, that we were doing this together. And God, as we were kind of growing deep into him, we began to love each other even more. And we began to encourage each other, do life together in ways that some of us never thought was possible. Sharing stories, sharing life situations, finding encouragement like they never thought or we never thought would ever be possible. And God began to change lives. And I'm so grateful to be part of their lives and be their brother and sisters. You know, we're going to see a little video here or a slideshow here in a second with the worship team leading us in some worship. And you're going to kind of get to meet or see some of the life change that has happened. But it's amazing. This is an example. When you see these people, all of these people were one-time first-timers at River Run that somebody loved and somebody encouraged, by which they found themselves into our family. I wish they sat into some shade and they ate some fruit, and then they decided that, you know what? What I need is I really need to go deeper and begin to sink my roots deep into a relationship with Jesus Christ and with other people. And boom, you began to see strength. You began to see freedom. You began to see loving friendships that you've never experienced before, not because of anything that we have done, but simply by just saying, all right, God, here I am. I'm going to sink my roots into you and see what you got. And guess what? We've learned from all the years that we've been doing Rooted Now. He never disappoints. Never disappoints. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the people in my life who have been the shade in my life when life has worn me out and I've been weary, sometimes wanting to give up, stressed, depressed, by which they were people who just trusted you, loved you, and I could just come into the presence and just be me. Taste of your fruit in their lives and be so grateful for them. Father, I'm just asking that you would continue to inspire us, encourage us to lay our roots deep into you, that we would not just be individual trees, but we would be a forest, a beautiful place of rest and of nourishment and of life change, God. Thank you for my brothers and sisters going through this rooted journey too, and how going and just trusting in you and seeing what that does just helps us just to see how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, and how trustworthy you are. And through that, how you make us so strong. Thank you for that gift. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.